السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. With the month of Ramadan around the corner, I thought today it will be beneficial if we read through this short leaflet, because it is a very simple leaflet with points, practical points on how to benefit from the month of Ramadan. It's a leaflet called Making Ramadan Fruitful, written by my teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Durat Sahib, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. And before starting the leaflet, it's worth mentioning, or rather repeating, a point that we have mentioned before, which is in our time even more important, even more so important than in the past. We mentioned last week, and we went into some detail, that whoever's company you adopt affects you. This we explained in detail last week. In fact, this is, you can say, the biggest factor in people's religiousness and irreligiousness. People who have good company, who adopt good company, tend to be religious. And people who adopt bad company tend to be irreligious. And keeping that in mind, we mentioned that whoever wants to progress in deen, they have to be very careful whose company they choose, the friends they choose. So one point which is also worth mentioning is that whenever we read any material, whenever we look at a video of someone delivering a speech or whatever, whenever we listen to a recording of someone, then although we are not physically in their company, physically we are not in their company, are they? They may be hundreds of miles away, they may be in another country. But this is also a form of company. So if you are reading someone's book, now you are in the company of the author. Yes, it is not going to have the same effect as physically being in the company of the author. But the moment you pick up that book and start reading, you are in the company of the author. That means the author's religious condition, his ideologies, they will start affecting you. So, whenever you pick up some material, religious or non-religious, then you should understand who has written it. But especially if you pick up religious material, you should when it comes to reading religious material, you always need to look at two things. The first thing you need to look at is the title. Is it appropriate for me? Is it relevant for me? And the second thing you need to look at is the author. Do I know the author? Until you don't know the author, don't open the cover. But it is possible that the title makes perfect sense. The title is how to benefit from Ramadan. Straightforward, understandable. Yes, I should read this. But the author is someone whose beliefs and ideologies are incorrect. So the moment you start reading that, you are in his company. And when you are in someone's company, then they have an influence over you. Automatic influence. You come across someone's video on YouTube, and you see the title, the topic is something religious, it is about the Day of Judgment. That is not enough. Understand who is delivering the talk in that video. In fact, let us say that you are watching a video, on YouTube, or you are reading the material, and you don't know the author, but you look inside and the material seems fine. So there are two things to understand here. The first is that the material seems fine. How do you know the material seems fine? To understand whether any book written on any topic is fine, it is correct, it is authentic or not, you need to be an expert on that topic yourself. If someone comes today and gives me a book on engineering, I will never be able to judge if everything is in the book is correct or not. It's quite possible. I read the book and I think it's quite impressive. He's explained it very well. And then I meet someone who is who has expertise in this field, and they say that it is full of mistakes. So if we don't have expertise in deen, then just, oh, the bayan sounds very impressive. The YouTube video, the clip sounds very impressive. Oh, the book, it sounds very impressive. It's possible there's mistakes in that, and you don't know. This is the first thing to understand. The second thing is that even if there are no mistakes in there, but if the author is someone whose beliefs are incorrect, whose ideologies are incorrect, who is irreligious, because this is also a form of company, watching the video, listening to the clip, reading the material. So even if the material is beneficial, the company will have effect. What is the greatest book? The greatest book is the Quran. So I may have made a mistake in the name, but as far as I can remember, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, a very great saint of the past. Or if not him, then someone else. He was going somewhere. This is a very eye-opening incident. He was going somewhere. And a person they came across, and he had his people, he had associates with him, people who are pious. People generally tend to stay in the company with the intention that we will learn from them, and you should. People who have a strong connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala gives them the correct understanding of Deen. So by staying with the company, you learn things that sometimes by reading so many books you don't learn. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say that Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali was an extremely learned person. Extremely learned person. He has left over 1,000 books for the Ummah. 1,000. Our mind does not even understand that. How can one person do that much work in a lifetime? And one of the greatest ulama and greatest muftis of our time, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, who is known worldwide, his opinion about Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah's books is that he says that if anyone wants guidance in our time, then the best thing to read is Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah's books. And he says, myself, he's a great alim. The entire world, the Arabs, the non-Arabs, the Middle East, the Asia, the UK, America, they accept him to be a... You would say at this moment in time, if you were to make a list of the ulama, he would definitely be in the top 5, if not on number 1, in terms of knowledge. But he says that at my bedside, there is always a book of Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah, and before I sleep, I make sure to read a little bit. So such a great alim, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah, but he used to say that I have not studied a lot of books. He used to say I have studied 3 books. The first book I have studied is Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali. The second book I have studied is Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And the third book I have studied is Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. He said the only books I have studied is I have not studied these 3 people. So he had studied a lot of books. What he was trying to say is that my understanding of deen has come about by adopting the company and learning directly from these 3 people, spending time in these 3 people. What do you understand? From people who have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get that understanding of deen which reading many, many books doesn't give you. So, I was saying that Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah was going somewhere. And with him were associates, with the intention of learning from him. He was going somewhere and they passed by someone who was reciting the glorious Quran. He was reciting the glorious Quran, the greatest book of all time. The kalam and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is guaranteed not to have a mistake inside. Not even a slip of the pen. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah is walking past and he puts his fingers in his ears. his associates think, what is going on? The Quran is being recited and Hazrat is putting his fingers in his ears and he's hurrying away, trying to get away from the voice. So the Hazrat is hurrying away, so they hurried after him. And then when Hazrat had calmed down and they were out of reach of the voice and they had an opportunity to ask, then they said, Hazrat, we don't understand. Someone was reciting the Quran and you covered your ears and you hurried away. So Hazrat Rahmatullah, he said that he was reciting the Quran, but the person reciting the Quran was a fasiq, an irreligious person. From his appearance, Hazrat must have understood. So, yes, the Quran has a good effect, but at the same time, because it is being recited by a fasiq, then the company of the fasiq, that has a negative effect. So it was not the Quran I was running away from, it was the negative effect of the fasiq and the irreligious person, the influence of his company and his words that I was running away from. So the purpose of this is saying that we, before picking up any book, before listening to any video, listening to any clip, we should ask someone we know, an alim that we have to a reasonable degree, we feel that, you know, he is a correct alim, he has understanding. Ask him that, should I listen to this person's, should I listen to this person's bayanat on YouTube? Should I listen to this person's script? Should I read this material? And then go ahead. So, this is something very important to understand. So, the purpose, going back, the purpose of this is two. That firstly, it is a very beneficial leaflet, alhamdulillah. And it is short. And secondly, by reading this, then we are to a certain extent benefiting from the company of Hazrat Wa Salim, Damat Barakatum, who is a very great pious person. So there are two benefits towards reading it. So, let us begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ulama have stated that how we spend the whole week depends on how we spend the day of Jumu'ah. If we spend the day of Jumu'ah in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then through the barakah of this, Allah ta'ala will grant us the ability to remain steadfast throughout the week. This is the effect of spending the day of Jumu'ah wisely. Similarly, how we spend the whole year depends on how we spend the month of Ramadan. If we value the blessed month of Ramadan, we will witness the positive effects of this throughout the year. We will be able to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His pleasure in the remaining 11 months. This is actually a great blessing from Allah ta'ala. Let me explain why. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made Ramadan very beneficial, but it doesn't have an effect on the rest of the months. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's natural that a person, you can, if I tell you, if you are at work and the boss says that, look, for the next 10 minutes, you need to give it your all. Whatever, you know, you are lifting something or whatever. That you are emptying a container. There is some luggage that needs to be moved. And the boss says, this needs to be done in 5 minutes. So those 5 minutes, you can give it that extra push, can you? But can you work at that pace for the whole shift? No. You can do it for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. To move that luggage or whatever needs moving quickly. But you can't give that much effort for the entire job period, can you? Yes, it's not that you are being lazy, no, you are doing it, but that... So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that the human, he can go the extra mile for a short amount of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose 1 month and encourages that go the extra mile in this month. And if you do it, then it will make it a life a lot easier in the rest of the months. So if we value the month of Ramadan, then it will make life a lot easier for us from a deeni point of view in the rest of the months. So, now, Hazrat Ahadi has mentioned that how do we value the month of Ramadan? The first point, the answer, the question is, how do we value the month of Ramadan? The answer is, by making sure we do not waste a single moment of this blessed, precious month. This is the first thing. Make sure that not a single moment is wasted. Wasting precious moments of life in the form of either disobedience to Allah Ta'ala or la ya'ni, futile activities, is the greatest loss a believer can incur. There are two ways to waste time. Disobedience of Allah and futile activities. Futile activities means useless activities. Therefore, in order to save ourselves from this loss, we need to monitor ourselves, make sure we do not engage in disobedience to Allah Ta'ala or La Ya'ni. This is a golden rule which we need to hold fast to throughout our lives, but it becomes all the more important during the month of Ramadan. So this really, this sentence is enough. Everything else is just explanation of this sentence. But this sentence is enough. Don't waste a single moment, either in the disobedience of Allah, or either in useless activities. Useless activity, something which is neither beneficial in this world or the hereafter. Just browsing on your phone. Just watching football. Just chatting away for hours and without purpose. Or worse, the disobedience of Allah, watching a film. Listen to music. So these are the two avenues of wasting time. You stay away from this, and time is being utilized wisely. Then Ahad Hazrat, which I will summarize. I will summarize because I am talking too much. So now I am summarizing for you. Hazrat is saying Ahad in simple terms that to do this, but easier said than done, isn't it? Don't waste a moment. Stay away from every form of disobedience to Allah and every form of wasting time. Every person will say, easier said than done. I want to do it, but I struggle. So the first thing to help us into doing this, the first thing we must do is stay in good company and good environments. Good company and good environments. Good company means the people, and environment means the place. Both are important. And stay away from bad company and bad environments. Company and environments are the things that influence a person the most. And this, my friends, is a very easy point. If I tell you to read 10 juz of the Quran, you need to make effort. If I tell you just make sure you stay away from bad company, stay in good company, you don't need to strive a large effort, you just need to find that company. You just need to identify who in my life is bad, especially bad company. Yes, in terms of the who is in your home, you have a limited control over, but outside you have control over who are your friends. Who do you hang around with? So understand. Think seriously. That who is it that I know is bad company for me and who is good company for me? This is the first thing. And then in this good company and good environment, whilst adopting that, the next thing we need to do, especially in the month of Ramadan, is mix with others as less as possible. Why? Because we all know, the conversation starts, half an hour is gone. We can be sitting in the masjid, fantastic environment, best company possible. But we sit next to a friend, conversation starts, and before you know, an hour is gone. And hours gone is the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you end up doing ghibah, and you're doing ghibah in the masjid. Worst case scenario, you end up raising your voice and you're disturbing others in the masjid. Stay away from bad company, bad environments. Adopt good company, good environments. In that, especially in the month of Ramadan, make it a point to mix as less as possible. And then I had hesitated mentioning that the mobile phone is also company. Who are you talking to on the mobile phone? That is also company. In the month of Ramadan, we all know how much our time of ours our mobile phone wastes, don't we? So every person should seriously think in the month of Ramadan, this smartphone of mine, how can I control it? What if I keep it off and leave it at home for this many hours? Do I need it? What if for the month of Ramadan I switch to a non-smartphone? I will tell you my own experience that nowadays people think this is backward advice. How is it possible that you can get rid of the smartphone? But in terms of Dini point of view, it is golden advice. So my Hazrat here has been given this advice from day one. And he always says that people will call me backward, but what can I do? I need to mention what is beneficial for your deen. So Alhamdulillah, when I was, a few years ago, I was given the topic to get rid of the smartphone. And it benefited me immensely. And for certain necessities, recently I needed to get a smartphone. But I was very, very hesitant. But, you know, it will end up wasting my time. And eventually, when I did get the smartphone, then nowadays, phones are very customizable. I got rid of the internet browser, I got rid of YouTube and whatever other apps usually waste a lot of time. So on my phone, you cannot even browse the internet, even though it is a smartphone. Why? Because I know myself. The person is just sitting there. In the past, when people were sitting there on the sofa and they had nothing to do, and the person had a bit of religious way, he thought, okay, the food is coming in 10 minutes, let me do a bit of tasbih. Or he would pick up some religious material. Nowadays, or he would talk to his parents, which is also a good deed. Nowadays, every spare moment, this phone comes out. You tell people that, wait, you don't even need to take out time to read the first kalima and third kalima 100 times every day. Do it whilst you are traveling. Do it whilst you are on the bus. But every moment on the bus, you are on your phone. And you are not the chief of police and you are not the prime minister that you need to be in contact with your phone like 24/7 that in case I get an emergency phone call. So, if a person can make his target for the month of Ramadan, I will switch to a smartphone, fantastic. And if you cannot, then think, how can I control this smartphone? How can I make sure I don't waste time on this smartphone? So this is the most important point. Now these are, ahead are some guidelines, which I will summarize for you. The first is that a person should make sure he fasts. This alhamdulillah we all know, but it is still worth mentioning. And this is the first thing. And the second thing to understand is that if a person has a valid reason not to fast, if a person thinks, I have a valid reason not to fast, I am too ill, or the doctor is saying my medicine cannot, I must have my medicine 5 times a day, and it must be equally spaced out, then you need to do two things. You need to do two things. The first thing you need to do is consult an expert doctor. But that is not enough. You need to consult the expert doctor and you need to tell him that, you know, what if I move my medicine outside of mean time? What if I fast one day and don't fast the next day? What if I fast every third day? You need to consult an expert doctor. With this in mind, that is there any way I can fast? Is there any days I can fast? And after you do that, that is not enough. Then you need to go and consult a mufti. That this is what the doctor is saying. What are you? What do you have to say? After you consult both people, and then the mufti says, keep up with the doctor's advice that you have fed him, that yeah, you do not need to fast. Or, yes, you can fast every other day. Then you are okay to stop fasting. Acha, next misconception. If I cannot fast because the doctor has said, what do people do? They give fidya. Fidya is a certain amount. They give what is known as compensation, a certain amount of money in charity. But the ruling is, if you cannot fast for some reason, then you need to think first. Fidya is not the first option. The first thing you need to think is that, is there any possibility that I can do qada later on? So it may be possible that the doctor is saying that, no, you need to have your medicine 3 times a day equally spaced out. So you cannot fast. But you think to yourself that, I cannot fast because it is April right now and fasts are long. But when next winter, November, December comes out and fasts are short, then I can do qada of this Ramadan fast. Then you must do qada. Then giving monetary compensation is not sufficient. Qada is the first option. If there is any way you can do qada, whether it is waiting for the short months, then that is what you need to do. And thereafter, if there is no way of you doing qada, no, the doctor is saying that you cannot fast at all, any time in the year. And he says, for the foreseeable future. He says, no, your illness, this medication which you need to have is not temporary. If he says it is temporary, you'll be off within 6 months. Then you need to wait, and when you're off the medicine, then fast. Do qada. But he says that no, for the foreseeable future, you will be on the medicine. And there is no time of the year you can fast. Then you can give compensation, monetary compensation. Ask the ulama then how much monetary compensation I need to give. This is the first thing. The next thing, in Ramadan, perform the 5 times salah punctually. Men must perform it in the masjid. In this regard, we shouldn't be lazy. For example, iftar time, we think, oh, because I'm hungry, I will perform at home. But I'm telling you, alhamdulillah, from a young age, my father used to make us come into the masjid for Maghrib Salah. And alhamdulillah, I never felt starving. Like, you know, it is a very difficult situation that I can't stand. It is just because before iftar, that is our mentality, that I've stayed hungry the whole day, going to a masjid for Salah. And then before you do something for Allah Ta'ala, it always seems difficult. After you have done it, then you will realize that due to the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His mercy, it was not so difficult. So every salah, same with Fajr salah. People think, oh, I want this many hours left to sleep before work, before school. So if I go perform salah in the masjid, that will be me sleeping 15 minutes later. But you do it and then you realize it is not all that difficult. But you need to take the hurdle and do it first. So perform, every salah must be performed and it should be performed in the masjid. That is the second point. Third point, increase zakat, increase spending in the path of Allah. Sadaqah. If a person has zakat compulsory upon him, then he should take it out. If a person, apart from that, he should spend charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then many virtues here are mentioned. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ajwadun nas, the most generous of people. And this was normal condition, not talking about the month of Ramadan. But in the month of Ramadan, he used to go to the next level. He used to be even more generous than he is normally. So he was already at number one. But in the month of Ramadan, he didn't think, oh, I spend more than everyone else anyway. He used to take it a step further and exert even more. So our spending in the month of Ramadan should be more than outside the rest of the months. And in particular, one form of spending which is extremely beneficial is spending for people to break the iftar. Nowadays, many charities have that, don't they, that it gives this much money will give people an iftar pack. Because whenever you give someone something to break their fast, then you gain the reward of their fast as well. One of the tabi'in, Hammad ibn Abi Sulaiman, rahmatullahi, he would feed 500 people for iftar every day. So imagine, every day he is getting the reward of his own fast, and he is getting the reward of 500 other people as well. So if we even make it a point that, okay, one iftar pack costs this much money, you will find, if you ask charities, you will get that one. So let me make sure one person is at least fed by me in the month of Ramadan every day. So instead of 30 fast reward, you will be gaining 60 fast reward. His 30 fast reward as well. And he will be gaining that reward at the same time. This is the third point. Fourth point, read the glorious Quran as much as possible. Make targets. Hazrat, he has mentioned that a non-hafiz should make a target of 3 juz a day. And a hafiz should make a target of at least 5 juz a day. Now 3 juz a day is not as hard as it seems. Break it up. When will I read the first? If you try to read 3 juz all in one go, you might find it difficult. Break it up. One juz I will read in the morning. Then one juz I will read after Asr. Then after Tarawih I will go home, I will have a cup of tea or whatever. I will snooze for a bit. Then thereafter I will recite one another. If a non-hafiz make 3 juz a target, this is not difficult. Number five, perform the tahajjud salah. You have to wake up for sahri anyway. The sahri time is prime time, best time for tahajjud salah. So you are going to wake up 20 minutes before, or half an hour before sahri time, that I need to eat. So add 15 minutes extra. And in that 15 minutes extra, perform the tahajjud salah. And this is, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform 8 rakats. 8 rakats is the best. But if you can't perform, 8 rakats sounds like a mountain to you, pay 2 rakats. Start with 2 rakats. But make it a target that let me make sure I pray the tahajjud salah every day. And at this time, the next point Hazrat is going to mention is that engage in dua a lot. And the tahajjud time is one of the best times for dua. So engage in dua as much as possible. Tahajjud time, whilst fasting, the entire fast is a time of acceptance of dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua of a fasting person is accepted until he breaks his fast. Meaning the entire time of fasting is time for acceptance of dua. So especially make a dua for your needs, your worldly needs and your needs of the hereafter. Similarly, engage in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala as much as possible. Especially, there are sometimes always in the day of Ramadan where we are too tired and we're just flopping on the sofa. So what do we normally do? We take this out. So instead of that, take the tasbihah. It doesn't take effort to recite. So to sit there reciting subhanallah, you can relax and do it. But with this problem, that my moments of my Ramadan are being made valuable. Number seven, repent from all previous sins. The Ramadan is really a time for change. And all this ibadah we are doing is to make the change easier for us. This, I would just pray tahajjud, fast, spend all of this is so, to change in is easier for us. But if we do all of this, but we don't make change in the goal, then we haven't understood the purpose of Ramadan. So what a person should look, what sins are there in my life? Is there any aspect of my life which is against the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, this is, I misuse my gaze, I don't control my temper, I don't adhere to the rules of parada, whatever. This Ramadan is going to change. So that means in Ramadan I would definitely not going to do it for 30 days. And inshallah, through the barakah of this Ramadan, it will leave my life. And part of this is that a person should reflect upon the past. He should reflect, he should think, he should take out some time, every few days or so. If every day is fantastic, then you know, how is my life going? What is wrong with my life? How can I change it? And the final point, which is very, very important, is that we have mentioned 9 points. And let us summarize those 9 points. Fasting. This leaflet, it will be on the windowsill. A person should take it home. Every 10 days or so in Ramadan, he should read through it. So it is a reminder. After 10 days, read through it again. When 20-day mark, read through it again. So the first point is fasting. Second point, 5 times salah. Third point, spending in the path of Allah. Fourth point, recite the Quran. Fifth point, tahajjud salah. Sixth point, dua, dhikr of Allah. Seventh point, repent. And eighth point, carry out as many good deeds as possible. Apart from that, going out for jamaat, sitting in bayanat, helping one's parents, whatever good deeds. And number nine, reflect upon the past. The tenth point, which is connected to all of these and which is from one aspect the most important, is never become despondent. You have made it a target that I'm going to perform the tahajjud salah. You did it the first time, 3 days went by, you didn't do it. Something, ruin this Ramadan. You made it a target that this Ramadan I'm not going to misuse my gaze. And you managed 1-2 days and the third day you slipped. I can't even manage it in Ramadan. What's the point? This thought is from shaitan to make sure that you don't get back up and you lose the rest of Ramadan as well. Ramadan came, 1-2 days went well, and the next few days you were overcome with laziness. No Quran, no salah in the masjid. And this happens. This happens from time to time, shaitan. And then shaitan makes you feel, what's the point? Lost opportunity. Shaitan is doing it so that you lose all the opportunities. Every day of Ramadan is an opportunity. So 25 days are left. Shaitan is making you feel despondent, so you lose those 25 opportunities as well. So the answer is that, okay, I've missed you 3 days of Ramadan. So logic says that I should use the next 25 days even more to make up for this loss. In Arabic, they have a very beautiful statement, which is, Mala yudrak kulluhu, la yutrak kulluhu. Mala yudrak kulluhu. Whatever can be caught fully, whatever you can't take fully, you can't take advantage of fully, la yudrak kulluhu. You don't leave it completely as well. Do you do this for food? Today there is not much food in the house or whatever. Oh, the food was running out, so mom said that everyone eat a little bit less. I can't eat to my fill, so leave, let's not bother eating at all. Is this what? No, logic tells us, I can't eat to my fill today because food is not, let me eat whatever is available. It was too late to get an intake. You are struggling to find the job. And someone says, you know, we have a part-time job, weekends only. Logic is not, okay, let me take this part-time job until I find a full-time job. Logic is not, wait, it's not a full-time job, what's the point? No. In everything, logic is, if you can't do it all, then you do whatever you can. So here as well, you sleep up, 5 days are ruined of Ramadan, no, get back up. So these are a few points regarding the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to reach the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend Ramadan in such a manner that we see a change in our life afterwards. This is the most important thing. I tell people that no one knows which action of theirs is accepted. Only Allah knows, and you will find out in the hereafter. But if you want a very strong sign that your Ramadan is accepted, then look at your condition after Ramadan. Has it improved from before Ramadan? This is a very good sign that your Ramadan is accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a topic to practice upon what has been said. Inshallah, this Tuesday program, I think, will not carry on in the month of Ramadan. Because at this time, you will either be doing Tarawih, you will be busy in Tarawih. But programs will take place in Ramadan. And the Saturday programs, as far as I know, will continue. In fact, this Saturday there will be a monthly program, which will be our only monthly program in Ramadan. So everyone is invited to come on Saturday after Asr. And apart from that, after Fajr, after Asr and after Isha, there will be short programs. Short programs meaning 5-10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. So everybody is requested to benefit from those as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.